We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Well, here we go, the Beaver Sports Podcast for this week, made possible, as always, by our friends at Hum Kombucha. Fizzy, delicious, and made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha. It's handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for all of Beaver Nation. We have a very special guest this week on the Sports Podcast, Vice President and Director of Athletics, Scott Barnes. Scott, good to see you. And I know if we had a little Hum Kombucha here, you'd be partaking.
Good to be with you guys. Can't wait to get my hands on one of those. Okay. What is it again?
It's very good for you.
Yeah, it is. No, it's obviously good.
Everybody loves that stuff. No. So, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Very good. I know you are. And we've had, John and I have actually partaken of it live on a previous sports podcast, so we know. Indeed, we thank Hum Kombucha for their sponsorship. A lot to get to, Scott. The wrapping up of year one of the Jonathan Smith era. Pulling back and taking a look, but not even pulling back. You were at a lot of practices, and you saw this from the time you hired him and followed it very closely. Now, with 1 year in officially, what are some of your major takeaways?
Well, you know, when you think about evaluating a rebuild, you don't do that by wins alone, right? In fact, it's more about, I call it the inside out, what's happening with the culture. I think about our future. I think about, you know, having one of the youngest teams, 25 red shirts and freshmen on the team, the difference makers, the young kids that are playing and really have emerged moving forward. I think about what's happening in the classroom because it's a direct correlation to student-athletes' production on the field. They grind out in the classroom, they'll grind it out on the field, and we've made huge headways there. In fact, a record-setting term last spring, 3.0, over 3.0 for the first time football. Nice. You think about recruiting traction. You think about staff. You think about teaching and are our student athletes being developed. I have not been around a collection of better teachers in my career. every single day. They're teaching. You've seen it. You've seen our student athletes get better on the field. So I assessed this, you know, two wins. Was that about what we thought? Probably. Yeah, maybe you get Reno and maybe not win a Pac-12 game or win one or two. End of the day, the foundation has been laid, and I think a solid foundation in that, and much to look forward to.
We coaches can't speak to recruiting. I don't know if anybody can, but from your sense, you mentioned getting some tracking there. Is there some positive stuff coming out of recruiting?
Well, yeah, and I think you've got to think about not only that freshman class, but what I love about Jonathan, ultimately this program will be built on the backs of freshmen that are here for 4 or 5 years. But we have an immediate need. And when you think about an immediate need, then you do have an obligation sort of to find some plug-and-play student-athletes, which could be the graduate transfer wire, could be the four transfers we have that are all have 3 years mm-hmm. of eligibility, and all four of those, their pedigree would suggest they're some of the best we've ever had. We'll find out when they strap it up. But those are all positives in terms of the recruiting process. And we spoke yesterday. He's on the road. Obviously, went right back on the road and is getting after it again. And he feels good about the response so far.
Scott, during the course of the year, the thing that I was impressed with being around Jonathan quite a bit, not quite as much as you probably, but a lot, was no matter what happened, there was a clear-cut vision that he continued to believe in and teach, whether you win, whether you lose big. What was your role in all of that, kind of watching him? And if there was a tough loss after Reno or maybe losing big in a game, how did you kind of deal with that in your seat, your position? And were you too impressed with just how he's clearly going about this with conviction?
Yeah, if I said it once, I probably told him 10 times and he'd tell you this. Look, after some of those tough losses, this is a marathon. And keep doing what you're doing. You have a plan. Execute the plan, and this will all come together. Stay true to your values. Stay true to your philosophy, and this will move forward. And so, yes, I think what Jonathan brings is this. Maturity beyond his years in terms of his decisiveness around things. Whether it's dipping his toe in the offensive coordinator role or not, see a lot of coaches, first-time coaches, struggle with that. Where he was so decisive on the front end, that he was decisive with what he wanted to bring in terms of philosophy and who he wanted to hire. We hired almost every single person he had on his list when I asked him who he'd hire in the interview. We got almost everybody. So, I love that about him. He's even-keeled. His highs are not too high. The lows are not too low. And that absolutely affects the student-athlete. When they see that calmness, that absolutely affects them positively.
And one of the things I would follow that up with, when John's asked you about recruiting, you've mentioned traction in recruiting. But part of it is a core philosophy of recruiting and building through developing the relationships with high school coaches and high school programs, the idea of, quote, a quick fix. I mean, if there's good junior college players out there that fit, you want them, but he's not going to try to build it in a quick fix manner.
No, he needs to plug some holes, and he sees that short term. And there's sort of this short term next couple of years, and then there's a long term. And we're going to win here and sustain success with freshmen long term. But there's also something we said, obviously, for creating momentum and getting this thing started and getting it going. And we're going to need a few of those junior college or transfer kids to help build that sooner than later.
I think for the most part, it was a calm year. In other words, no issues, very little, if any, and we didn't even know about them. It was a very calm year. I know you could chuckle because who knows what's going on behind the scenes. But very I hate to use the word culture because it's overused, but the culture is changed, and now it's recruiting and getting in the weight room too, and all the, like you said, inside out.
It's a reflection of his leadership and personality, that calmness that you're speaking to. And frankly, it was chaotic last year, and for a lot of reasons, but that sort of calmness and confidence mm-hmm. the student athletes have in the staff, the relationship. The one thing, if there's one thing I tell you that separates the staff from a lot of others, is you can go down the line and talk to student athletes about staff and the care factor. There's a sincere caring about that student athlete across the board, off the field. And that resonates. And that again, that's part of building that trust and that culture. And it's real. It just is.
You mentioned 25 freshmen or true freshmen, and many of them made significant contributions and are good football players. But I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at one example in Jamar Jefferson and the amazing record freshman record-setting season, 1,380 yards, as an example of what the program, in a sense, can do in building relationship with a guy. When USC came in, he held firm here. That, I think that speaks to the type of culture and relationship that the coach has built with him and with other young men.
Well, and we have an awful lot to sell here at Oregon State, and so it's that relationship, as you speak to, with the head coach and those assistant coaches. That's why continuity is so important. We talk about that. And then not every prospective student athlete is built to be at Oregon State, but I'll tell you, the ones that we are on and the ones that we get to campus, particularly with their parents, we're going to win a lot of those battles. And what we want is the right fit. Just like you want in leadership, you want the right fit in the student athlete, because that's going to create success immediately and a kid that's going to be confident and content in where they are. And so they, you know, I love how they sell this place, and who can sell it better with conviction than Jonathan Smith, who got it done here at that championship level.
Is the moving on to things like facilities, other than the West Side, which we can talk about, is the facilities race, quote unquote, over? Because everyone's got the indoor, everyone's got the new stadium, everyone's got the Sky Suites and the Valley Centers. I mean, it seems like it's over now amongst everybody in the league.
Yeah, I wish it were. You know, it's never over. There's always the next best thing. You know, you look across the Pac-12, and almost everybody has recently or is involved in a stadium renovation. So to your point there, that piece seems to be solidifying itself, or will soon. You know, we got to concentrate on four things when we think about building a football program. There's four things in our plan. One is continuity of our coaches, and that comes, you know, with success and then having the dollars to keep them, frankly. Two is facilities, to your point, John, and keeping current across the board. And we have our Sports Performance Center renovation is actually going on right now. We've secured a $2 million gift on a $3.5 million project. That's moving. That's a total difference maker for football and all our sports. But those two things are really important. There's two others, though, that are important. Recruiting, obviously, we've talked about. So how do we affect positive change for Jonathan? Well, giving him the tools he needs. One is a private charter, and we've doubled that inventory for him to go out and be nimble during the season. A Friday night, go see a couple of players. That's really important. Continue to invest in that. And then scheduling. Scheduling is the fourth thing that we just got to do right. And what I mean by that is the balance between creating momentum and the fan experience. And so we will not play, as you've heard me say, a one-off game at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, down the line, we want to position ourselves where we're playing home and home. Right now, it's about creating some momentum and keeping that fan experience alive. We've got programs like the Oklahoma States and the Texas Techs and the Purdue's coming in a home and home. And those are the types of games that we think we can line up with and create fan interest. So those are four things that, from an administrative standpoint, I'm focused on every day in terms of how we build football.
You mentioned the fan experience, the fan base. You've expressed appreciation so much to Beaver Nation about everyone's part in this. What is your message now after year one and all the things you've just talked about to Beaver Nation? Fan base that's been pretty resilient and patient through the years, but what about kind of to them? What are you saying when you have opportunity to get in front of people? You're here in the podcast doing it, but what is your message right now to our core, our fan base?
Well, it's, we can't do it without them. And you look around the league and where we sit as a program, where we've sat the last few years, and the fan attendance that we still get is really gratifying. It's not where we need to be. We have slipped in our season ticket base over the years, and we've got to build that back. Power Five successful football programs are built on season ticket, television, conference revenue, donations. That's what it's built on. And so we continue to look for more help to grow our base. And that's really a key for us is to grow that base back. And we're not talking about getting places we've never been. We're just simply talking about getting close to where we've been in the past. And if we can do that, not only does football succeed mightily in investing in the four areas I mentioned, but it helps all of our athletic programs. So we do appreciate the loyal following from so many great Beaver fans.
Should we talk about some other things? Because there's some great successes this fall. Really, I mean, in many of the other sports, cross country, men's soccer, now basketball is starting out 5-1 at this point on this podcast. But your thoughts on how some of these other programs are doing? It's really fun.
Well, I love, you know, we've made four new head coaching hires, one more to come with women's soccer. The pool of candidates is awesome, and we think we'll hit a home run there again. But you think about just the new coaches to start with, what Terry Boss did, Coach of the Year in his first year, a complete flip there to just about grabbing that conference championship. What Quintano's done, Louis, in breaking all sorts of new records, first time to the Nationals in the history of our women's cross-country program. Track continues to improve under his leadership as well. You know, Kate in women's rowing is making great progress as well, and then Jonathan Smith. We have another that. And then obviously, when you look at the Wayne Tinkles and the Scott Ruicks and the Pat Baileys, previously Pat Casey, we've got programs that are in really good shape and others that are working. Don in women's golf is another one that's been places we've never been. And so what it is for us, our job is to how do we assist them? How do we put another arrow in their quiver so they can continue that success?
Part of that, facilities have been talked about a little bit, but what is the latest update with respect to Gost, the entry to Gill, other things that are going on as we speak?
So we'll have the Gost Omaha room and the right deck, Casey's Corner, will both be completed before baseball season. So those will be brand new viewing area, you know, the Omaha room completely redone, sight lines will be improved, seating, restroom accommodations, concessions accommodations there. We have the Sports Performance Center rehaul. We'll add a Gatorade fueling station. We'll completely gut it, brand new equipment, lighting, branding, more efficient space that all of our student athletes use. That is launched and moving forward. Women's basketball locker room is also launched, and we're in the middle of a campaign for that as well. We have some other irons in the fire for some next things as we pick off our 10-year facilities master plan. Obviously, the West Side Arena, we're in a feasibility, continue to grind through that and are in a feasibility study for what would be the largest undertaking in this university's history in terms of facilities. So we continue to work and not only with athletics, but our campus constituents to make sure that we're solid on the plan in how we move that forward.
Did you mention the front of Gill?
I did mention, but
you did, but I didn't speak to it. So that is two things at Gill. Obviously, the center hung is there. It's been well received. The plaza area in the front of Gill has commenced in terms of design. That won't actually be put in place till next summer, spring and summer. Also, hand railings in parts of Gill, working through the code issues in the city and whatnot. But that is coming as well. Can't promise. We'd hope to have that by Pac-12, but that's not likely. But that is also coming at Gill. So, as you know, the future of Gill is in the 10-year forecast. That would include a total redo of the upper levels, premium spaces, more fan-friendly, turn it into a competitive venue, not a multi-purpose venue. And the downstairs would be overhauled as well there.
Last couple of things with Scott Barnes on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Visit Corvallis, experience Beaver Game Day in Corvallis, and extend your stay to take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game and stay to play. You mentioned conference revenue a little bit earlier, television and the conference. I've been seeing a lot of articles and some critiques of our great Pac-12 conference, some of them probably legitimate, fair, reasonable. But what about, Scott, how do you evaluate the Pac-12 conference, its overall health now in some ways, maybe some areas where you, in your seat, would like to see growth, improvements, adjustments, et cetera?
Yeah, well, certainly the obvious one is additional revenue, and that comes in a multitude of ways, most significantly through television and a new deal there. But it also comes in NCAA revenue shares. We've got to be better in basketball across the board in this league to up those shares. If we could just get in say, third place of the five, our shares could go up $1 million each a year. So, you know, those are things we have to work on. I like our new leadership at the Pac-12 level. Mark Shukin is president. He's put a good team around him. They're forward thinkers. We do, aside from naysayers, we are in an enviable position as it relates to owning our own network and what's coming. And part of what's coming, to think that linear television and the ESPNs of the world are going away is not true. And believe me, if anything in this world in sports has value, it's NFL football and college football. And that'll continue to have value, even though the cord cutting takes place and whatnot. But the other new frontier is digital. And how we monetize digital and where we sit in that space is going to be really important the next go around. And so the challenge is, what do we do between now and then? And absent from building those NCAA basketball shares, from significantly changing the TV contract, which is unlikely, we got to continue to grow our own revenues. And that's why it comes back to how important it is to have success, continued success in football, is to grow that fan base. And our biggest opportunity across our athletic program is football. And as football succeeds and we grow the fan base, football continues to succeed. We continue to invest in football and the other programs as well. But I do want to say this, because there's a lot of conversation about our lack of investment in football. Bottom line here is there are a lot of apples and oranges in how national, how federal and state reports come out. We have a plan. I've outlined the four pieces, and we're investing mightily and will continue to invest in football. Why? Because it's the key to success for all of our programs. We have to be aggressive. Can't be over our skis, but we have to be aggressive in our investment football.
How big of a deal is it to you when the national talking heads say, well, once again, the Pac-12 is out of the CFP? Should we as a conference, you in your seat, should we as fans in Corvallis at Oregon State be concerned about it?
Well, certainly. I mean, we want to be better. And I look at this in some ways as cyclical. I mean, it wasn't very long ago Washington was in it. And it wasn't very long ago we were among the leaders in how many schools participated in the NCAA tournament. So we got to get back there. And as I look across the landscape, coaches, I think we have a chance to get a lot better soon. But, yeah, we're all concerned about that, because that drags on the brand, right? And if the brand of the Pac-12 is being damaged or deflated, then so is ours in some respects, right? And so that all has to coexist, and we're hoping that it's all on an uptick. And, you know, basketball sits at 5-1, and the women sit at 4 or 5-1, and those programs are going well. But everybody in the conference has to raise their game for us to change the narrative somewhat. And as much as we are the leaders in the television realm a few years ago, now we're behind, and we've got to catch up. And there's ways to do that, and I'm confident we will. The challenge, again, is this gap, this 5.5 years before anything major can happen. Now, that's not to say there's not an outside chance of things happening earlier than that, but that's right now, that's what it looks like. So it comes back to us and how we build our fan base.
And we'll close. You mentioned two basketball teams at 5-1, a more immediate event at Gill, a doubleheader of sorts on Saturday, the women at noon against LaSalle at 5-1 and ranked 9th in the country. And, Coach, I know you've been following Wayne's program there. They're 5-1, and I think showing real signs of a turnaround this year. Last year, close in a lot of games, they're turning close games into wins.
I like the looks of both of these teams.
Yeah, and I think our women's program, unbelievable job that Scott's done. We can play with anybody, and we've proven that already competition against Notre Dame. Men's basketball is coming. I think there's another big step here this year that you'll see. The likes of some of the new players, Kyler Kelly filling that hole, that five spot is really coming along with Big G and Kyler. Obviously, the three amigos are doing their thing in a great way, and will only get better. So I look at our both programs, women right now, where they're at the national level and blowing the roof off it. Our men taking another strong step this year.
Scott, thanks for the time. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Scott Barnes, this week's very special guest on the Beaver Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again very soon, and our thanks to the Heat Pump Store and the Oregon State College of Business. You can earn your OSU MBA in Portland, Bend, or Corvallis, or online with flexible and customized options. Visit mba.oregonstate.edu/Beaver today. Again, thanks to Scott. We've got more to come on the Joe Beaver Show as well. You can follow the podcast and the Joe Beaver Show online. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.